You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we are back here with a Victory Monday edition here on Locked On Ravens. And it was definitely a sweet one in Detroit. An unbelievable, wild, crazy victory as the Ravens pull off a 19-17 win over the Detroit Lions in a game that, to be completely honest, looked pretty bleak, right? Pretty bleak there at the end is the Ravens, they give up that go-ahead field goal. They're down. The Ravens don't have any timeouts. They have to go almost the length of the field. They have a 4th-and-19. But the theme, once again, is resiliency. And this team drives down the field, I guess a little bit down the field. They didn't get all the way there. Justin Tucker, 66-yard field goal. He missed a 49-yard field goal earlier. That was in the first quarter. He comes back and has a great game other than that. Of course, he is now the hero in Baltimore. His 66-yarder, the longest field goal in NFL history. Just, you know, another feat for him in what has been definitely a future Hall of Fame career for Tucker. And there's definitely a lot to dive into today because this was a game that Baltimore, in all honesty, you know, if they didn't have that 4th-and-19 conversion, if they didn't have Justin Tucker on their special teams unit, they would have lost this game. And it would have been a really bad loss because of just, you know, Detroit, the talent difference. Not to say Detroit's a bad team because they played phenomenal football for the most part compared to, you know, I think what we saw out of them the first 2 weeks. They played the Ravens really, really tough. They did not do a great job in some aspects, but played the Ravens tough in others. So I do want to get into the Ravens offense, and obviously Justin Tucker is a part of that. Definitely he had a lot of those points in the first segment here. In the second segment, I do want to talk about that Ravens defense again. They struggled to an extent. And then in the final segment, again, it's just what's next for this team and how they continue to fight through all the injuries and all the stuff that gets thrown at them. It's honestly very, it's almost inspiring to see. So another crazy, crazy game for this Baltimore Ravens team. Let's dive into it here, though. If you're following along with us on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video at 1,000 subscribers. I am thinking about doing something. I'm thinking it'll be the Ravens conditioning test, which will be an experience. It'll be an experience if I do it, but I am also taking suggestions. So if that subscriber number goes up, that means we're getting closer to that, potentially me doing the conditioning test for the Ravens or what they put their players through for the conditioning test. If you're following along with us on audio only, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you get our podcasts, that's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern time. Be sure to follow us so you know when our content comes out, turn those notifications on, and also be sure to follow me on Twitter at ChaosTracker34 and the show account at LockedOnRavens on Twitter. So with all that being said, let's dive right into it here and let's start off with the Baltimore offense. Again, Baltimore winning 19-17. But again, a lot of the offense pulling up the stats here, it did come from Mr. Justin Tucker. Tucker ended up scoring, I'll say, most of the Ravens' points. He hit on 4 of 5 field goals, ended up, again, that 66-yarder, the story of the entire game, maybe the entire league, honestly. I'd put it that way. Lamar Jackson also throwing a touchdown. Jackson actually had, all things considered, I'd call this a pretty good game from Lamar Jackson. He looked really, really sharp throwing the football. Did make a couple of bad decisions, threw an interception, but went 16 of 31 for 287 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Was also sacked 4 times, but let's take into account a couple things here. One, towards the end of the game, the offensive line was all right for most of the game. The end of the game, Lamar Jackson was getting pressured on a lot of his throws, and it seemed like he was just under duress a lot in the bottom half of that game, kind of like the fourth quarter area. You know, in that fourth quarter area, I do think that the Ravens offensive line kind of played a little bit worse than they had earlier in the game. And I think we also have to take into account the Marquise Brown drops. Brown, it was a rough game for Brown overall. He did finish with 3 receptions for 53 yards, but there was a ball that was tipped by a Lions defender very slightly, and that was a great play by the defender, and that's a tough catch, but I think that a lot of people saw Marquise Brown's breakout, and we're talking about, yeah, this is the year, and those types of catches where the ball kind of gets deflected a little bit, but the ball is there. It kind of grasped off or glanced off of his hands. Those are catches that people expect receivers who are taking that step to make, or some of those top flight receivers to make, so people were kind of disappointed in that. but also kind of gave Marquise Brown a little bit of a pass for it. So there was that. And then also, obviously, the two drops that he had on that possession right in his hands, both were most likely surefire touchdowns, walk-in touchdowns, and Brown just dropped both of them. This was right before the end of the half. Instead of getting 7 points, Baltimore had to punt the football away. That's a pretty big swing in what ended up being a two-point win for the Ravens. So it's a matter of, you know, inches, yards, but also like inches in terms of where these balls were on Marquise Brown's hands. He just could not haul them in. And those are things that Marquise Brown has to take into account and has to get better at. That cannot happen. And Marquise Brown knows that. He understands that he has to get better. We go back to, let's say, week 14 last year, where the Ravens, Marquise Brown struggled throughout that game with drops. Came back, ended up catching the game-winning touchdown from Lamar Jackson when Jackson came out of the locker room. But he still had those drops. So it's something he definitely does have to clean up, and hopefully he will clean it up sooner rather than later. But Brown has had a pretty scorching start to the year outside of this game, so I think that he will turn it around. But he definitely was in his head towards the end of the half, because those are catches that a lot of receivers, in fact, all receivers at the NFL level, definitely have to make. This was a big breakout game for Mark Andrews. Andrews wasn't really doing a lot in the first couple games for the Ravens. Had 5 receptions for 109 yards. I was kind of thinking this would be a big game for Andrews. I predicted him to have 2 touchdowns on Ravens wire, but you know, my sentiment was he's going to have a big game. Obviously he did not have 2 touchdowns. In fact, he didn't have one, but still 5 receptions for 109 yards. Still good. The Ravens surprisingly averaged 5.3 yards per carry. It did not seem like they averaged 5.3 yards per carry. The Lions did a pretty good job, all things considered, of stopping this Ravens rush offense. And surprisingly, Tyson Williams, averaging 6.5 yards per carry coming into this game, only had 5 carries for 22 yards. You know, that's still 4.4 yards per carry, but the Ravens were going with Latavius Murray early. They were going with Devonta Freeman early. Freeman had 3 carries for 8 yards, Murray 7 for 28. Lamar Jackson led this team with 7 carries for 58 yards. The Ravens ran the ball 22 times. They threw it 31. So this game script for them was pass the football. And it felt like a game where the run game wasn't really on for the Ravens all that much. You know, 5.3 yards per carry, you look at it, it sounds pretty good, right? But, you know, if watching the game, it did not look like 5.3 yards per carry. Jackson had a nice 31-yard run that definitely contributed to that. There were a couple of other kind of long gainers that were there as well for running backs and Jackson. But the Lions defense, credit to them, they did a pretty good job at stopping the Ravens' run game, getting the Ravens into second and long situations, third and long situations. And that's something I also want to kind of talk about here, because we saw a big improvement from the Ravens from week 1 to week 2 in terms of their third down efficiency. It was not good in week 1 against Las Vegas. Week 2, they came back and did a really good job on third down. Week 3 was worse than week 1 for the Ravens. The Ravens go 1 of 10 on third down. Now, luckily for Baltimore, Detroit was not much better. They went 3 of 10 on third down. We'll talk about that in the second segment for the Ravens defense. But on third down, the Ravens just could not get anything going. And part of that was credit, again, to the Lions defense. The Ravens love to convert in those third and short, third and mini medium situations. I'll call them like the third and fours, third and fives almost, you can call them. But the Ravens were working with sometimes third and nines, third and eights, third and sevens, even, you know, third and 10, third and 11 sometimes. And they weren't converting. Even on some third and shorts, they weren't converting. So the Lions defense did a good job of putting Baltimore in unfavorable situations where obviously you would love to have a third and one instead of a third and 10. That's a given. So the Ravens game script was more throwing. But again, Jackson looked pretty sharp throwing the football on Sunday. I was very impressed. He was hitting guys in stride, throwing on the run well. It wasn't perfect. Again, 16 of 31. He had a couple of incompletions through the interception late in the game as well. On an ill-advised throw, I think he was just trying to make something happen. And at that point, an interception, it's about as good as a punt. Obviously not as good, but he threw the ball down the field and that's what happened. But I thought Lamar Jackson threw the ball decently well. I thought it was a good game from him throwing the football, all things considered. So overall, look, another thing that the Ravens didn't win, and we talked about this in week 1 and also week 2, the time of possession battle. The Ravens lost the time of possession battle by over 5 minutes. The Lions held the ball for 32 minutes and 33 seconds. The Ravens for 27 minutes and 27 seconds. So as we've talked about before on the show, the Ravens, they love to win the time of possession battle. If they get out to a lead early, they like to hold the football, run the ball, and chew the clock up. That's not what happened in this game. Again, partially it was getting in those unfavorable third down situations. The Ravens also weren't stopping a lot on defense for most of the game. So they had to do a lot in that regard too, in terms of just the defense staying on the field, and that in turn made the defense tired. But the Ravens lost the time of possession battle, but still won the game. And usually when the Ravens lose the time of possession battle, it's not good for their chances to win the game. But the Ravens again had Justin Tucker, and Tucker misses that 49-yard field goal it was, and ended up hitting that 66-yarder to end regulation, win the football game. One of the greatest kicks in NFL history, obviously one of the greatest in Ravens history as well. It was a game that the Ravens struggled in, but they did get the win, and part of their struggles also came on the defensive side of the ball. But again, number nine was there to bail them out, to save the day. The Ravens go 1-0. You know, the offense did just enough, the defense just enough, and obviously Justin Tucker just enough as well. But we're going to head into our first break, and when we get back, we'll be talking about that Ravens defense, what went well and what went wrong for them. So stay tuned for that. But hey, Ravens fans, this is Kevin Allstriker with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people will drive a lot of making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. And we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And we are back here with our second segment of this Victory Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker, your host, still talking with you here. And we just talked about the Ravens offense and, of course, a little bit about Justin Tucker. We'll be talking about Tucker throughout this entire week, probably throughout the entire, I mean, for the rest of Ravens history, to be honest. But this is a guy who just played hero, has played hero time and time again for the Ravens. That 66-yard field goal bailed the Ravens out in a game that honestly was looking very bleak for this team. But not only that, but the Lamar Jackson 4th-and-19 play to Sammy Watkins. There was a dime under pressure, or I guess he wasn't under pressure by Detroit players, but just the pressure of having a 4th-and-19 to have to convert that deep in their own territory, that's the pressure I'm talking about. So kudos to Jackson, kudos to Tucker. But let's talk about this defense now. And the defense admittedly did struggle. I will not sit up here and say that the defense played phenomenal football, because they didn't. And let's examine why. The Ravens, first of all, outgained Detroit in terms of total yards, 387 to 285. Baltimore gives up 4.8 yards per play, 5.8 yards per pass, and 3.4 yards per rush. So overall, you look at those baseline stats of the box score, and you're saying, hey, look, the Ravens held the Lions to 17 points. They played pretty good football. But it goes a bit deeper than that. I'm not saying the Ravens defense, this was the worst performance in team history. It was not. And all things considered, let's talk about the fact that the Ravens had four guys on the reserve COVID list from on their front seven. And Justin Houston, who's a huge part of their pass rush. Jalen Ferguson, who provides depth. Brandon Williams, who's a big part of their run defense. And Justin Madubuike, who's been a big breakout guy this year. So the Ravens are working with guys like Khalil McKenzie off of the practice squad. Justin Ellis and Broderick Washington have big roles. Broderick Washington, by the way, made a couple of really nice plays. I was impressed with what I saw out of Broderick Washington. But losing those guys right before a game, you know, on the road, going on the road, that's tough, because the Ravens have to call up all these guys from the practice squad. They're already working with a bunch of new faces, and that just continues. You know, the Ravens call up Josh Bynes. He's playing a lot. The Ravens overall, the defense, I think the one thing I want to start off with here is the missed tackles. The missed tackles were a huge issue in week two against Kansas City. You also saw it a bit in week one against Las Vegas. And one of my key questions for this week coming in was, can the Ravens get, you know, work with their tackling, get their tackling better? And I mean, overall, the answer is no. The answer is no to that question. They did not. And I know Patrick Queen, a big culprit in that. He did not have a great game, and he acknowledged it. Patrick Queen acknowledged it. Tyus Bowser on one of the plays, Patrick Queen missed a tackle. Bowser missed a tackle. Marlon Humphrey, I think, missed a tackle in there too. It's just stuff along those lines where it can literally be the difference between, you know, let we can do an extreme here. Let's go Travis Kelce, a 6-yard play, just like a little check down or a touchdown because the Ravens miss, you know, 4, 5, 6 tackles and Kelce roams into the end zone during week 2. And we saw it a couple times in week 3 as well, where DeAndre Swift on that play where it was Queen and Bowser missing the tackles, Swift could have gotten stopped, but instead he gets those extra yards. And Queen, you know, he said that he needs to play better. He understands that. And Queen's an interesting situation. A lot of people are very fast to give up on Patrick Queen. And I want to acknowledge that, yes, you know, for where Queen was picked and everything coming out of LSU, the sideline to sideline speed, but the concerns, Queen has had to learn a lot at the NFL level. Right now, he's still getting flushed out during plays where linemen can just kind of make him irrelevant during plays, and he's having some trouble shedding blocks. He's still finding his way in coverage. Obviously, the tackles are a big issue there. He's working his way through things. You know, I'm not ready to personally give up on Patrick Queen. I understand people are disappointed, especially in his effort in week 3. His week 3 performance was not great. You know, I think he would tell you his week 3 performance was not great. But that all of a sudden to me doesn't mean that Patrick Queen is this terrible, horrible player. He provides the Ravens value, but now it's a matter of him to continue growing and increasing that value. You can't stay at the same value place at the NFL level, especially being in your second year. I know he knows he has to improve, and I think he can. I really do think he has the talent to do so. But this wasn't just a Queen issue. The tackles were an entire team thing. Deshaun Elliott leaves this game. He kind of goes out and in and out and in, and they're relying on Brandon Stevens, but Darius Washington is inactive in this one. So the Ravens are working with a bunch of different pieces and just pulling up actual, you know, some more stats here. Again, the Lions went 3-10 on third down. That's really good for the Ravens. You know, they held the Lions at 3-10 on third down, 30%. But, you know, Jared Goff in this one, 22-30 for 217 yards. So the Ravens were allowing a lot of stuff to get completed. It's more of the like bend, don't break defense type thing I mentioned. You know, 3.4 yards per rush is actually pretty good, all things considered. 5.8 yards per pass, again, pretty good for comparison. The Ravens averaged 7.7. But it's the stuff that goes beyond the box score. So we know what this team can do in terms of stopping the run, in terms of not letting anything up deep. They did a good job of playing bend, don't break defense and not letting anything get behind them. There weren't really a ton of huge, big back-breaking plays where their Lions gained 30, 40, 50 yards. They let a lot of it stay in front of them. And that's what this defense is. Jimmy Smith coming back was a welcome sight. He made a couple of nice plays. I thought that overall, all things considered, with the way the defense is having to maneuver through injury, still adjusting to the loss of Marcus Peters, I think. People, you know, some people, I think, take the loss of a player and they kind of say, all right, this player's gone and they're only losing the on-field production of that one player. For a player as important as Marcus Peters is to this Ravens defense, it's going to take a while, especially because he was lost so close to the start of the regular season for that. Now, I'm not making excuses. The defense does have to play better. And it's kind of like the feeling that I think I and a lot of other people had against Kansas City, where when the Ravens go for it on that 4th-and-1 play, I'm thinking they have to go for it because if you punt that ball back to Patrick Mahomes, the way the defense was playing, it seemed like he was going to be able to drive the football down the field. And it was the same thing when the Lions got the ball back on the interception for Jackson in week 3. It was, the Lions are going to drive down the field here and score, which is what happened. It seemed like the Ravens defense couldn't stop a lot again. And let's go back to the time of possession battle. The Ravens lose by about 5 minutes. It was just over 5 minutes. That has a key impact on a defense because we've seen what happens when the Ravens win the time of possession battle and how defenses have to stay on the field and their time on the field is drawn out and they get tired and they're getting tired of hitting people. And then all of a sudden the run game starts to really step up and it helps the Ravens in that way. Well, the Ravens were on the opposite side of that in week 3 because the Lions held the ball for longer than the Ravens did. And the Ravens defense, especially being stretched so thin, and let's not forget Dalen Hayes as well, left this game with an ankle injury. He was deemed doubtful to return pretty quickly. So hopefully the injury is, you know, not super serious, but I hope that he'll be able to come back soon. But because of that, the Ravens, they did not call up Chris Smith, the outside linebacker who can also kick inside. So they had to work with just 3 true outside linebackers in Pernell McPhee, Adafi Owe, and Tyus Bowser. So that's tough on a defense, especially knowing that they were out there for 5 minutes longer than the Lions defense was. And the Lions offense ended up being able to move the ball a lot better in the second half. The Lions didn't score in the first half. This game was 10-0 going into halftime, but the Lions score 7 in the third, another 10 in the fourth, And again, luckily Justin Tucker's there to save the day. But if he's not, if Justin Tucker doesn't make the longest field goal in NFL history, this is a loss for the Ravens. And, you know, we can also go back and there are a lot of things that people blame this on, you know, obviously the drops, the penalties, the missed tackles. Going back to the offensive side of the ball for a quick second here, Sammy Watkins on that 4th and 19 almost cost the Ravens the game because he didn't go out of bounds. You know, he had a clear path, or at least it looked like a clear path to out of bounds. And he decides to stay in the field of play instead of going out of bounds, picking up an extra yard or two. And honestly, you know, maybe that yard or two was the difference in the game. But again, if Justin Tucker's not on that Ravens sideline, who knows what happens? So the defense, all things considered, I thought played okay. It was not great for them. Held the Lions again to 3-10 on third down. I thought that was very encouraging. Hopefully the Ravens defense will get back some of their key contributors next week, including hopefully Justin Houston and Brandon Williams, Matt Ebuike, Jalen Ferguson. But that all depends on where they are with the COVID protocols and their vaccination status. So we'll see. But the Ravens defense, they did just enough to come out with a win. And they rode that Justin Tucker leg, as the whole Ravens team did, to victory, but still did, again, enough to win the football game. We're going to head into our final break now, though. When we get back, we'll discuss what's up next for this team and just talk about how crazy, wild, and resilient this team has been so far this year during 2021. So stay tuned for that. But does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows you're watching, sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And what's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know the Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, almond, cherry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? This week, there's a limited time flavor with cookie dough chunk. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we are back. Our final segment here on this Victory Monday, the Ravens defeating the Detroit Lions by the final score of 19-17 in week 3. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. And we're going to now discuss what's up next for this Baltimore Ravens team and putting into perspective just how crazy the season has been so far, because it has been one of the more crazy ones, I would say. So up next, the Ravens travel to Denver, take on the Denver Broncos, a 4 p.m. game there, 4:25 to be exact. And In Denver, there are a couple things to take into account. One, the high altitude is a big thing there. I am a Denver Nuggets fan, so I understand what the high altitude does to teams. And for the Ravens, it's tough if you're not adjusted. You can lose your win pretty quickly there, and it's just a whole different environment there up a mile high. And the mile high, the altitude, any players who have sickle cell cannot play in games in Denver. I don't believe there are any players who have sickle cell on the Ravens at this point. I know former Raven John Brown has it, and he was not able to play in any games that his teams that he were on was traveling to Denver. Former Steelers safety Ryan Clark, same thing. So it's a big factor for players who have that, but it's a big factor for all players, and it's tough to adjust to for sure. Denver's 3-0. This is an undefeated team. They laid the smackdown on the New York Jets on Sunday, so this is a team that's playing really well, playing confidently. Teddy Bridgewater is playing good football for them. Cortland Sutton is back for this team. Melvin Gordon is there. They have Javonte Williams as a running back who's done pretty good things as a rookie out of North Carolina. The defense also, Bradley Chubb no longer there, but they have a really, really nice revamped cornerback room, Patrick Surtain II in there. And they have a bunch of key pieces on that defense. So the Ravens are going to have to play a tough game against a Denver team that a lot of people kind of wrote off for the year, but I think have played pretty good football so far. So that'll be Baltimore's Week 4 matchup. But, you know, let's talk about matchups 1-3 here. Putting it into perspective, to be completely honest, this team could easily be 3-0 and they could easily be 0-3. There's really no in between, but Baltimore somehow found it at 2-1. They lose Week 1 to the Raiders in a heartbreaking fashion where the Ravens have the game pretty much won. but the Raiders defense drives down the field, two plays, huge chunk yards. The Raiders have no timeouts, kind of like what the Ravens did yesterday against Detroit. The Ravens end up giving up a game tying field goal, and then the Ravens give up the game winning touchdown in overtime to Las Vegas. So a game where the Ravens, again, could have easily been 1-0. They fall to 0-1. Then they have to pretty much stare 0-2 in the face against Kansas City before the game, where they're losing all their key pieces to injury. Tyree Phillips goes on IR. Ronnie Stanley, it's announced he's going to be out. It's just, you know, nightmare scenario after nightmare scenario. But this team somehow wills its way to a win, 36-35, in a game for the ages. I mean, for the ages, where you have the Chiefs driving down the field with less than a minute left, or I think it was actually over a minute left. And the Ravens, they go out there and they end up getting a forced fumble. Adafi Elway forces that fumble, a huge play early in his Ravens career, recovers it himself too. So insane. Then the Ravens, deep in their own territory, go for it on 4th-and-1, because as I talked about in the second segment, kicking it back to Patrick Mahomes, I don't think that was a good idea. And John Harbaugh clearly agreed. He goes for it on 4th-and-1, trusts his team. He wins the football game there. They go to 1-1, beat Patrick Mahomes for the first time in 4 years, 4 seasons. So that's a game that the Ravens showed a lot of resiliency. You know, a lot of people counted them out. I also picked them to lose, not because it's like, oh, haha, the Ravens are going to lose, but, you know, all the injuries, still adjusting, and even still the Ravens go out and win the game. Then week 3, it's kind of the opposite, but they still come out with a win. The Ravens heavily favored in this one. Detroit gives them a total run for their money. Credit to Detroit and what they were able to do on both offense and defense. Really, I think a sluggish first half for both teams. And then both teams kind of go their separate ways in the second half. Detroit takes up the pace. Baltimore kind of doesn't, but Justin Tucker wins that game for them again, 4 or 5 field goals after hitting a 61-yard game-winning field goal all those years ago in Detroit in 2013. The Ravens get the same masterclass performance out of him, albeit he did miss one, but a 66-yarder NFL record, I think, cancels out any misses that Tucker had in that game. So it's just crazy to think about how this season has gone so up and so down so fast, you know. Everybody's so excited for the start of the year before training camp. Then the injuries start to happen in training camp. It's Rashad Bateman, it's Jimmy Smith, it's a bunch of other guys who go down. And you're thinking, okay, well, that it's unfortunate, but hopefully those guys will be back. Smith doesn't return until week 3. Bateman hopefully back next week, but we don't really know that right now. Then preseason week 3, obviously J.K. Dobbins tears his ACL. Then just in a matter of a week and a half, then Gus Edwards goes down. Justice Hill goes down. Marcus Peters goes down. It's just injury after injury after injury. The team at this point has 15 players on injured reserve, and they had that in week 2. I mean, just unbelievable. Chris Westry goes down with a torn meniscus during week 1 against Las Vegas. Like just unbelievable, crazy luck and bad luck for the Ravens, but they've also had their fair share of good in this season. And I think this whole thing is going to make them stronger. It's not ideal. You would love to have J.K. Dobbins right now. You would love to have Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards and Rashad Bateman and whoever. But some of those guys are close to returning with Boykin and Bateman and hopefully Nick Boyle as well. Hopefully Derek Wolfe can get over his hip and back injury. So it's been a trying year so far. Heartbreaking losses, but thrilling wins, amazing adversity, and resiliency that this team has been able to navigate through. And it's growing them together. I mean, Devonta Freeman, Latavius Murray, all these players, Kevon Seymour, Khalil McKenzie, Josh Bynes. I think this team is set up for good things. The injuries definitely take a hit out of the talent pool that this team does have. But all things considered, 2-1 right now, considering everything that's going on, I would take that definitely for sure from the Baltimore Ravens. And I know I'm taking it right now. So again, the Ravens winning 19-17 on the leg of Justin Tucker over Detroit in week 3, and a thrilling and exhilarating game that saw Justin Tucker break the longest field goal in NFL history record with a 66-yard field goal as time expired. But that's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be continuing our Ravens talk and our breakdown of the Ravens matchup with the Detroit Lions in week 3. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.